12. Familiar passage. Most of us are understand or know. Hebrews chapter 12. Switch mics here. Okay, I got a big mouth. My wife says so. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want to focus on that. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For who the joy that was set before us, or before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day and for this time together. I thank you, O God, for the word. I pray, God, that you would just have your way and that you would touch me, that you would anoint me in spite of me. And Lord God, that I may speak the words that you would have spoken in this place. And I pray above all things, Lord, let your perfect will be done and speak to us. Let our hearts and our ears receive what you have. And to you we give all the glory and the honor and praise. Amen and amen. I want you to think about for just a little bit this thought. And that is thinking about resolutions. You see up there resolutions for the new year, but I know some people don't like to think about resolutions. And some say, well, Christians shouldn't have resolutions. Well, okay, if you're in that school, all right, I'm not going to argue, but I want you to consider this. Maybe we could change it to resolve. That's why I put that up there. But let's look at some things, okay? First off, let's get some definitions set up here. Resolutions. Resolution, a definition of resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. A firm decision to do or not to do something. Then we can also look at the word resolve. The word resolve has decide firmly on a course of action. If we as Christians, and if we as people of God doesn't have a resolve about us, then something's wrong with our faith. You remember that old song that we sang as kids, I have decided to follow Jesus? Anybody remember that song? You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then no turning back. Anybody remember that? No turning back. Yeah, think about that. If I have decided to follow him, I mean, let's face it, the world looks at the church, a lot of people in church, and call them hypocrites. Why? What's a hypocrite? What's that says something yet does something else? That's a hypocrite, right? We know that there's hypocrites in the church. We know there's hypocrites outside the church. But if one thing that the church needs to be, and one thing that the children of God need to be more than anything else, is to have a resolve that we're going to follow Jesus. We have decided our course of action, and there is nothing that's going to deter us from that. So when we think about having resolutions or having a resolve for the coming year, we have a firm decision, we have a firm course of action that nothing is going to deviate, that we are going to serve the Lord and we're going to allow God to be God in our life. That's what resolution is about for a Christian. I know a lot of times we say, well, we shouldn't have resolution because, you know, the first few days, you know, most people forget them and they give up on their resolutions because how many of us says we're going to eat better, we're going to exercise more, and we're going to do, you know, take better care of our body, and then, you know, a couple weeks into it, we forget all about that. But also the same thing about Christians. I'm going to read more, I'm going to pray more, and then a couple days or a couple weeks into it, we forget. Many experts tell us that it takes 21 days to develop a habit, and then another 21 days to real firmly entrench that habit into our life. That's 6 weeks, y'all. If we can stick with something for 6 weeks, just think about it. It's going to be part of our routine. It's hard. Yes, I know. It's hard to start something. The hardest part about doing anything is starting. Do you realize,
back years ago, NASA, when they was launching all the shuttles and rockets and stuff, I mean, that was always cool. Yeah, they're doing it still, but, it's kind of cool some of the things they got out now.
But I remember talking about the shuttle, and they said it takes, when the space shuttle was launching, they said it burns the most energy, or the most fuel, and takes the most energy for that shuttle to go 1 inch above the ground. Think about that. To get that thing just started, it took so much fuel and so much energy and so much thrust to get that thing off the ground. And it takes, and that's with a lot of us, it takes most of our energy just to get started. But once we get started, we start to do more. Just kind of like those projects we're supposed to be doing. Once we get started, we get into it and we do it. But getting started is the key thing. And for some, that's why New Year's, we have the resolutions and all these things go. That's why a lot of people start that, because it seems like something about the new year that helps us really focus on starting something new and afresh and changing habits. And that's great, especially after 2020, amen? We could definitely say 2020 is going to be one for the books. But as we look at this, and as we're preparing now, Christmas, I'm not saying Christmas is over, because I know at our house, Christmas is going to stay up for a while, what I'm told. And Travis is back there. No. And that's fine. But come Thursday, when that clock strikes midnight, and it becomes 2021, the new year is here, and we got to think about new things. A new month, a new year. And I know, some think, oh yeah, I can't, and I've seen it on Facebook, social media, people say, well, 2021, I can't wait for 2020 to be over with, and I thought, yeah, I don't mean to be a downer, folks. But if you think it's going to get better just like that, when come Thursday or Friday, don't hold your breath. Well, Pastor, you're just being a downer. No. The days are getting evil, folks, if you haven't figured this out yet. And all that is serving and all that's reminding us is that Jesus is coming soon. 2020 was a difficult year for many of us. 2020 was a difficult year for all of us. Many of us know somebody or have lost somebody close to us due to COVID and due to this pandemic. We all have been affected in some way. We've all been affected. Yeah. But is it going away come Thursday or Friday? No. We've got to remind ourselves, as Jeff was talking about, we sometimes focus so much on the problem, we forget about the problem solver. Hello? Is his mic good?
Yeah. I got to move around. You might have to turn him.
Maybe. Huh?
The blue one's alive.
Live?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I bought batteries. We just got to put them in, I guess. But thinking about 2020 for just a moment, I want to get into some things to look forward to, but let's just pause for 2020 for a minute.
None of us would have ever thought this time last year what we would have been going through for 2020. We never thought that we would have to shut down churches. Never thought we was going to have to do that. Never thought we was going to have to be wearing, you know, these masks, you know. Never thought we was going to have to worry about all this stuff going on. But we did. We went through it. A lot of times people thought, you know, how difficult it was not to be able to go to church and how difficult. But, you know, I thought back to all the ministers. Because a lot of times this didn't get reported a lot about how many ministers left the ministry and even some committed suicide because of the pandemic. Ministers. Because they had never, none of us had never pastored through a pandemic like this. We were all scrambling, and I can speak from one, not only I was pastoring, but working in the state office. We were all trying to figure out, we were trying to learn as we go, how do we prepare, how do we pastor through this, and how do we prepare our pastors, how do we prepare our churches to endure a pandemic? What do we listen to, and what don't we listen to? How do we prepare for not only what's now, but what is coming? And all of us went through this together. And one thing, you know, and it was a difficult thing. It was a hard thing. It was something that we pray we would never go through again. But here's the thing. It is something that most of us went through together. We all felt the pinch. We all felt it. We all experienced it. We all had a suffering in some way. Many lost jobs. Many lost income. Many didn't know what was going to happen. Yes, we lost some loved ones along the way, but here we are standing at the end of 2020, looking back over the last 12 months and saying, God brought us through this situation. And if he is God enough to bring us through that, then just think about what he's going to bring us through in the coming year. Hello? But to say come 2021, it's all going to be, you know, rose gardens and tiptoeing through the tulips. No. All this reminds me, this is one thing that really hit me. I know in the climax of the pandemic, when we were all back in May and April, May, we were, I mean, my goodness, you know, I don't know what you all did here, but I know we did, you know, doing Easter virtually. That was hard. No, it wasn't hard. I think we had a hurricane come through about that time, too. That was really hard trying to figure that one out. Hopefully, we were trying to do a live service or a virtual service, you know, on the internet, praying our power didn't go out. The struggles of Louisiana. But the fact of the matter is this. We went through it. But here's one thing that it taught me. It taught me, and I believe it was God was teaching the church, to appreciate our time together. To appreciate the worship service. Because I've really seen for many, and I know some things that I was witnessing, was that a lot of people were coming to church, but they were just going through the motions. They would come in, they would sing the songs, they'd hear the message, they'd shout an amen or two, and then they would leave and just say, and felt like they just got a gold star for the day because they showed up to church and they graced God with their presence. Church was more about easing the conscience than transforming the soul. But when we had to shut it down, it seemed that people began to appreciate the service again, and appreciate coming together, and appreciate worship. You know the old saying, you don't really appreciate something until it's gone. There you go. God help us if we ever take God for granted like that again. God forgive us if we ever get to a complacency in our life to where we don't take God seriously like we did before. Hello? But here we are at the last service, the last Sunday of 2020. I remember going into 2020. I'm sure you heard it. I'm sure a different one said it. But going into 2020, you know, what did they talk about 2020? Perfect vision, right?
think we did get a good, clear picture on what was what. Think about it. You see, for many, it either strengthened your faith or it weakened your faith. And if it weakened your faith, then your faith really wasn't strong to begin with. Oh, Pastor, this is hard. No, I believe God is wanting to give the church and give this world a cold dose of reality to realize that there's no more playing on the fence anymore. We don't need to be playing church anymore. We don't need to be playing patty cake with God and thinking we're okay as long as I come to church. No, it's about who's going to serve the Lord and who's going to have a resolve and a clear plan of action that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. I don't care what comes my way. It may come a pandemic, but listen, a pandemic is not going to stop me from lifting my hands and lifting my voice and singing songs unto him and giving him praise. I am not going to be detoured by what the government says or by what this says. I'm going to serve the Lord. Even though you slay me, as Job said, yet I will still serve you. That's what a resolve is about. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Notice something. As a whole in our nation, notice this. We shut down. We closed the doors. We went virtual back in the spring. Then we came back open over the summer. And we thought, oh, this is so great to come back together again. And then when they wanted to shut it down again, what did the church say? Not this time. Well, you're just not being, and people were criticizing. You're just not listening to science. No, we understand more. We can have church and be safe. We can be smart. We've been educated. But here's the thing I believe, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that there are forces of evil that's working against the church. And they are, some of them are in our government and some of them are in our science areas, and they want to see how far they can push the church. And if they can shut the church, if they can shut the children of God up, then they kill the message of Christ and the message of hope. And experts has already come out to tell us that people do better when the churches are open and people's mindsets and stability is better because of the church. If we haven't figured it out now, we will never figure it out. But church is essential. Can you say amen? We need to come together. We need to fellowship. We need to worship our God. We need to hear a word from God. We need our time of worship. We need our time of prayer. We need our time to lift up holy hands and sing unto God and say, yes, God is able. Yes, my Lord heals. Yes, he's upon the throne. That's what a resolve is about. It's saying, we aren't going to bow down anymore. We will be smart. We will be mindful. Listen, it's not about COVID. Remember the statement you heard probably throughout 2020? Faith over fear. God's testing faith. Where's your faith? People have faith to go to Walmart. I'm not trying to be mean. Don't listen. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you see what a resolve is about. Having a firm decision to do or not to do. That's resolution. And decide firmly. We got to decide today. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to have resolve in our own minds, in our own life. I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. Hello. Let's go on. Let's get into this. I got about six today. First one. Resolve number one. I will forget about yesterday. Philippians 3:18 says, forget about it. Don't worry about the past. Forget about yesterday. I know it's going to be hard, and none of us are really going to forget 2020. But it's not forgetting like I'm just going to put it out of my mind. It's about I'm not going to allow the past to dictate my present or my future. You can't allow that. Lord, if our past, for many of us, if our past determined our future, none of us would have hope. Hello? But thank God for God's forgiving grace. I got to forget about it, though. Yesterday, I cannot change yesterday. Amen? You cannot change the things of the past. I know there's times we'd love to jump back in the past and change some things, but we cannot change them. Hello? Some of you probably watched this movie this last week. It's a Wonderful Life. Think about this. Oh, Harry Bailey couldn't change his past, even though he seen what his life was like without him. But his past didn't change. Just his outlook on the future changed. Think about that. We can't change the past, but we can change our outlook on what's ahead. Number two, I will not worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6, you can read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. He talks about that you cannot worry about. Tomorrow, it's its own day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because he goes on and he says, seek ye first, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, and what he was talking about in 25 before that, verse 25 about the flowers of the fields, the birds of the air, how God takes care of them in spite. Birds don't worry about where they're going to get their next meal from. Flowers don't worry about that stuff, right? They know God will take care of them. Then why should we worry? You will say, well, Pastor, flowers don't have brains. Exactly. Sometimes we get too smart for our own good. Or we get too smart for our own demise. We worry ourselves when we shouldn't worry. Hello? Hello? Some of you need to hear that again. Don't worry about it. Oh, what's tomorrow going to hold? What are they going to do? If you're a child of God, what's there to worry about? It's not your problem, it's his. Hello? Does God have problems? No. Does God worry about it? No. He's got solutions. He ain't got problems. He reminds us that all things, this is Chuck's kind of condensed version, all things work together. All things. To have that grass grow, we got to have a little rain. Right? Pain in our bodies is a reminder that something's wrong. Hello? If we didn't have pain, it wouldn't be telling us, hey, something's wrong, we need to pay attention to something. Think about that. All things work together, so I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Yes, are there legitimate concerns? Yes. Yes. I'm not going to stand up here and say, don't be concerned about anything. We all have concerns. We all have concerns maybe about our future. We all have concerns about what this year is going to hold. But I don't need to sit here today and worry myself sick, wondering about how it's going to unfold. Because if I do, what good am I today? You see, we talk about he's the God of yesterday, today, and forever, right?
he's going to take care. He's already taken care of my past. He's got my future in his hands. Oh, I've got to worry about this today to make sure I, as his servant, I, as his child, make the most of today to be the best person I can be for God. To allow the light, we talked about this last week, to allow the light of Jesus to shine in my life in a dark and hurting world. And if I don't do that, then I haven't fulfilled my purpose for today. Satan wants us to be caught up in our past and worrying about our future so much that I can't do anything today. And that's not of God. Hello? We're living in a nation, we're living in a world, literally, that for many are dying of worry. They need hope. They're searching for hope. They're searching for answers. And they keep coming up empty because what they're looking for can't be bought on Amazon. Can't be found at Walmart. What they need is what we've got right here. But unless we talk about it, unless we share it, unless we allow the light of Jesus to shine, they will never know. Number three, I will make today count. You see, we have addressed our past, our future, now today. Make today count. Psalms 90 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, let me be. I don't know how many really do this. And I'm not going to say I do this every day, but I do kind of have this mentality or this thought process. You know, every day you get up, what do I need to accomplish today? Anybody do that? You know, you go to work, you have your to-do list. And I know, Sherry, you know, you have the, okay, I need to do this today. And, you know, if you're at work, you have production or you have certain things you got to do. You know, teacher's got lesson plans, and, you know, he got to teach this. And we, you know, all of us have something. But here's also what we need to add to that list. Lord, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you, Lord? How can I let you shine in my life to others? Sometimes it's just a simple thing as a glass of cold water. A simple smile. A simple word of encouragement. Maybe just a simple telling somebody God loves them. Many have been convinced that every person they come to, they got to preach a sermon. That's not the case. But if we're not in tune with what God wants for us that day, then we will never fulfill that purpose He has for us for that day. I'm a firm believer of this, that there are times if we don't fulfill some things that God has called us to do or chosen, you know, we've done in our life, we'll end up repeating things. I'm a firm believer of that. Well, how do you know that? How do you come from that? Well, I go back to the Exodus story when God told the Israelites, you've been around this mountain long enough. And why is that they kept going around the mountain? Because they kept doing the same old thing. And we talk about when you do the same thing all the time, you'll get the results every time. Wonder, just stop and think about it. If you feel like you keep struggling in your walk with God, what are you doing all the time that's keeping you in that mind frame where you're struggling? Try something different. Try something new. Well, Pastor, I read the word, but I don't understand it. Why? Are you not studying? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there's a difference between reading the word and studying the word, and we're called to do both. Discipleship in study time is so important. It is the most neglected thing in most Christians' life, and that's why many Christians are weak and struggling in their walk with God. Hello? Y'all quiet today. But here's
here's the thing. If you don't understand, some will say, well, I got a King James Version. Listen, I'm not knocking King James Version, but I'll just say this. And no, not all Bibles are created equal. I'm the first to say that. Not all about translations. There are some translations, to me, are the only place for them is in the trash can. That's just me. Especially some things that are, well, I'll be good. You just come talk to me. But there are some translations that are good and excellent out there that are worth buying and worth reading and may be easier to read. Listen, we've got more available to us today than we've ever had before about understanding and studying the Word of God, yet we are the most ignorant when it comes to God's Word. Why is that? It comes down to one thing. The effort that's made. That's why every day we got to make sure that we're in the Word, we're before the Lord, we're in His presence. I got to hurry. Number four, I will be sensitive to the need of others. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. And Isaiah goes on and talks to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release the darkness from the prisoners. Look at this, though. The Spirit of the Lord, when you read Isaiah 61, is upon me. Isaiah was saying this, upon me. We read that and we should place ourselves in that picture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And when we read this, it's not just talking about the preachers or the pastors of the church. It's talking about the people of God. That He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent us to bind up the wounds of the hurting. He has sent us into this world to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. I know you're all quiet this morning. I must be stepping on a lot of toes, or you're still kind of hungover from Christmas dinner. I don't know. But through the pandemic and through 2020, I know a lot of times it gets caught up, well, this one's got COVID, this one's battling this. And, you know, COVID's probably been the most talked about word of 2020 in all of our vocabulary. But also I want to know, in what context are we talking it about? And how are we framing it in relationship to the power, the healing power of Jesus Christ? We've talked about those that have died from COVID, but how many have we talked about those God has healed from COVID? Hello? How many have we talked about? How much have we given God praise and thanks for because He heals people from COVID? You see the difference? And just think about what's coming out of our mouth. Because let's go back to this fact that power of life and death is in the tongue. We who have Christ in us have the power of life. Those life-giving words that come from that blessed book that we have. And the words that He gives us to share with others. And how many of us are giving God praise and giving God the glory for what He has done in not just COVID, but in all things? How many of us have given God praise that we have made it through and that we've been made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? How many of us have given God praise and thank God that we've made it through 2020? How many of us thank God you have kept me and you sustained me? And as we celebrated Christmas, you know, this past week, thank you, Lord, that I was able to be around with those that were here with me. I may have lost a few. I may not have been around everybody I wanted to be around. But thank you, Lord, for what I do have and what you have blessed me with. Goes back to what I talked about a couple last month. Is the glass half full or half empty? We've been called to help others.
bad. Or we can say, God is more powerful than anything here on earth. God is able to heal. He is able to deliver. He is able to sustain. He is my God. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is my peace. He is my comforter. We've got to give the world a message of hope. And we've got to practice a mentality of giving in our life. You know what the Bible says about giving, right? Give, and it shall be given. Not equal for equal. No, that's not God's economy. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be added into your bosom. I've just been called. I don't give for that purpose. I give because God instructs me to give. I give because my God has called me to give. I have a giving heart and I want to have a giving mentality because God is my provider and I'm not going to worry about it. Hello. Number five. I know some. Hurry up, Pastor. The restaurants are open and we want to go. Number five. I will keep my heart pure. That's a toughie. I know it's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get bitter with people. It's easy to get bitter with things and situations. It's easy to get mad. But church, we've got to remember something. Don't get mad at people when you know beyond any doubt, or really you got to stop and look at really the cause of that, why they do what they do. What is at the core of all things? What's the core? What's at the core of all evil? Sin. Where does sin come from? The devil. Anybody remember him? The reason we have all this evil in our world is because of him. He is at the root of all evil. He is at the root of all things against God. He is at the core to make the church and make the believers try to shake their faith and walk away from God. He is the reason many people commit suicide and give up hope and walk away from God because they feel like there is no hope. And the reason why they feel like there's no hope is because they have not heard a message of hope yet. And that's why it's important for you and I to let our voices ring out and speak out and tell the world there is hope in Jesus Christ. Also, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. Anybody want to see God? You better be pure. The John's epistles say, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? He goes on and says, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Hello. We can look at the politicians and we can look at all these things in the world and these people in the world thinking, oh, they're so evil and they're so bad. Yeah. I've said it too. God forgive me. But God still loves them as much as he loves us. He died for them as much as he died for us. Hello. Let's go on. Number six. Let's wrap this up. Number six. I will act upon my dreams. You know one thing I think in looking at this past year? We all go into New Year's with maybe not resolutions, but we all go into with things that hopes and dreams for the coming year. I know this coming year there's some things that we're looking forward to.
As a church, we're looking for, we are, you know, coming into this new year with a dream of celebrating and the heritage of this church. And looking at how God has endured through this church and this community for 100 years. That's worth celebrating, folks. That's worth giving God glory for. Some people say, oh, Lord, it's so old. Listen, you know, we look at our bodies and go, oh, we're so old. We're not old. We're antiques. Well, you appreciate antiques. Come on, somebody. You pay good money for antiques. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what, you know, I was born, I'm going to tell my age. I was born in 1967. I'm thinking, man, I would love to have a 1967 Mustang right now. Come on. You just take your year and you put your car in there, what you want. You would love to have one of those. Come on now. Am I right? You know, some of you born a 57, you know, Chevy. Come on. We won't go any further because we won't talk about that stuff. That's it. We call those classic cars. Sherry said the other day, she, you know, I'm getting old. I said, no, honey, you're classic. You're classic, baby. That's what we are. We appreciate it. But think about this new year. And I want you really begin to think about it. Here's the thing. With this past year, 2020 has stolen a lot of dreams. Things that we thought we were going to accomplish. Things 2020, a year of vision, a year of this. And we got a good eye full of things. I know many, Lord, just show us. Give us clear vision. And when he pulled back the curtain and showed us the evil in the world, we go, pull it back, pull it back, pull it back. We don't want to see that no more. And we feel like our dreams got stolen. But can I tell you, let's go back to this. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. The dream has not changed. And it's time for the church to dream again and think about the future again and think about the possibilities of what God is able to accomplish when people get on the same page as God. We need to quit praying for God to bless what we're doing. Instead saying, God, let us do what you're already blessing. Can you hear me this morning? And say, God, let me get on what you're wanting me to get on. Not what I want. Not my will, but thy be done, oh God. What you want. God, I may need to change gears a little bit. I may need to change a few things in my own life, but God, I want to dream the same dream that you have. I want to get on the same page that you have. I want to see your glory revealed in such a way that sinners, as soon as they walk into the sanctuary, run to the altar because the convicting power is so strong and so real that people are giving their lives to God every single day. Wouldn't that be a great dream to see our lost loved ones come to know Jesus? Amen. Can we have that dream for this coming year? Can we have that dream that God would save our lost loved ones? That God would see, we would see a harvest of souls in this coming year? Because with God, I believe all things are possible. I may be naive enough or stupid enough or whatever you want to call it, but I believe God is still in the saving business. I believe God is still in the healing business. I just got to get myself positioned for God to do what God wants to do. There are going to be some different things coming. God says it's time to dream again. I think back in closing when he told Habakkuk, stand back and watch. For I'm going to work a work in your days, even if I told you, you would not believe it. I believe God is wanting to work a work in this coming year. that even if he sat down right now and began to share it all to us, we would not believe it. Just think back if he would have sat back into January 1 of 2020 and began to tell us, you're going to go through a pandemic and it's going to shake you to the very core. It's going to close the churches up for several weeks where you're not going to be able to come together. You wouldn't have believed it, would you? But it happened. And you went through it. And you endured it. And I believe God enough that he's getting ready to tell us, look and just sit back and watch what I'm about to do. I'm going to do some things that you wouldn't believe if I told you right now. But as you go through it step by step and day by day, you're going to begin to look back and say, this time next year, wow, look what God has done in our midst and what God has done before us. But if I'm going to see it, if we're going to witness it, then I need to position myself to say, God, let me have that dream. And let me be what you want me to be for this coming year. I want you to think about this. Going back to this, go to that last slide. Have that resolve. A firm course of action of what God wants to do in our life. We don't know what all it's going to hold. We don't know all that 2021 will have. We don't know that we all will be here at the end of 2021. You know what I think would be the greatest thing of 21? Jesus to come back. Amen. That would be the greatest thing of all. Wouldn't it? Would for me. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to be celebrating in heaven right now? No more COVID. No more cancer. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. No more separation from families. You talking about the greatest party ever? It's one we're going to experience when we all get to heaven. But until then, we got to say, God, what do you have planned for me in 21? What do you have for me for this coming year? And have a firm course of action that nothing, go back to that text about what will separate us from the love of God. Think about that when Paul's saying, what will separate you? And he goes through that list and description. And at the end, he says, nothing, nothing shall separate me. That's having a resolve. Nothing is going to separate me from my God. I'm going to ask you to stand right now as our worship team comes. Think back to that old simple song. Do you know that, Trish? I have decided.
Oh, yeah, that's what I had planned to sing.
Okay. I want you to just think about that for just a moment. That I have decided.
Jesus.
I have a firm resolve. And here's what I'd like us to do today as we prepare for the altar time. I want us to sing that as we sing it one time through. That I want to ask you just to find a place around the altar or where you are, wherever you feel comfortable. And I want you just to commit to God yourself for 2021. Now, I'll be sharing, next week I'll be preaching on fasting, and then we'll be talking about more in next month, in January, about some things for the next coming year and getting all that together and sharing some things, what we're going to be doing, and plans of action. I'm still trying to iron some things out, but that's for the then. Now, before we hear that, we got to prepare this. Let this be prepared. Go ahead and start playing, guys. Let's sing that one through, and then afterwards, let's come and pray. If you need special prayer, then come and stand, and we will pray over you if you need special prayer this morning. But let's sing this together right now.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.